everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs, and regardless of who I am, it's the 12th of November, 2020, and welcome to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening today, or maybe you're listening on the archives. We know a lot of people do. That's the nature of podcasting. Listen at your convenience, so we archive everything over at our website for the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Our website is ace-ed.org. ACE-ED.org, again, American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's our primary thing here. We are so concerned about equity and access so much that on our website, you'll see our wonderful online journal called Equity and Access. And you can access that all for free over at ace-ed.org, but we'd love you to join the consortium. That's free for educators. It is an industry-supported consortium trying to build equity and access to learning for all students. And again, it's over at ace-ed.org. Follow us on Twitter at Access2EquityED, but that's the number two, Access2EquityED, or you can follow us at EduTalk Radio. LinkedIn is my name, Larry Jacobs, and on Facebook it's either Larry Jacobs or Education Talk Radio. So friend us, follow us, link with us, have a good time. I got my old friend Greg Fern here, who is going to be introducing us to a lovely person named Robin Husa Farrell, who runs a company called Sharpen Minds. And we're going to find out a little about it at sharpenminds.com. Normally ladies first, but I'll introduce my old friend Greg first. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Larry. How are you today?
I'm fine. Where are you today?
I am in my palatial office studio home in Murray, Utah.
You're in Utah. How about that? What, did you just recently move to Utah? How long have you been in Utah?
We moved from Texas up to Utah six years ago. But interestingly enough, I've been on the road so long, I've spent more time since COVID in Utah than I have in the last 6 years.
Well, Utah welcomes you, so COVID, as bad as it is, has one good thing. You're home a lot, and I'm sure your office is palatial. I'm sure.
It is.
Right?
I'm looking at it. Snow-dusted.
Yes.
We got snow last night, so it looks beautiful.
I bet it does. Look, where is Murray? Put it in relation to Salt Lake or St. George or something I know.
Just barely a stone's throw south of Salt Lake City.
Okay, there you go. I got it there. Okay, beautiful. Robin, how are you? Larry here.
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. Where are you calling from? And by the way, I'm getting echo all of a sudden. I don't know if it's Robin or Greg. Okay, so I'm going to ask, while I'm talking to Robin, Greg, you hang up and call back in, okay?
Oh, okay. All right. Very
good. Yeah, just hang up, call back in. Sometimes that breaks the spell, and I'll get back to Robin here. Rob, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can, and I'm not getting that feedback now. So Greg will call right back in. Okay, where are you?
I'm actually right now sitting in San Diego, California, recently relocated here from South Carolina.
Boy, you know about warm places, don't you?
Yeah. Although we went to South Carolina from New York City, and so we were in New York for a good 20 years before moving down to the warmer climate.
See, you're much smarter than me. We went from from Philly to Chicago to New Hampshire to Maine, where I am now. So we keep going to a colder and colder weather. I don't know what it is with us.
Where
it's just something. So, and Greg is back to us. Rob, tell us about yourself, okay? Because I know Greg is my old friend. He's been a superintendent. He's so involved on the business side now as a consultant, et cetera, launching new products, helping school districts. Greg Fern, everybody. He introduced me to Robin. Robin, tell us about yourself.
Well, thank you, Larry. My background over the last 15 years, I've been working in K-12 schools across the country to build resilience and kind of using a trauma-informed lens and framework. We brought together kind of the thought leaders around mental health, really looking at primary prevention and how to get ahead of these challenges that we're seeing affecting 1 in 3 kids. So that's been my passion. It's been my research over the last 15 years, and I'm so grateful to you for allowing me to be here today.
Oh my God, it's my any friend of Grace is a friend of mine. It's my pleasure to have you here. And just out of curiosity, what are you? Are you a guidance counselor, a psychologist? What are you?
No,
Does that question even make sense?
Yeah, it is. So actually, my work began. I have a master's in fine arts, and I was working in the Broadway and theater community in New York City for many years. And I ended up producing a rock musical, of all things, that was the true story of a family dealing with a mental health issue. And then I connected with my family members who are both in academia and very passionate educators in the Midwest. And I started really using my talents as a producer to try to pull together the researchers and the artists to build these compelling programs. And we've found some success with that model, and so I'm very grateful that I was able to just be a small part of it.
Wow, that is really cool. And Greg, how did you meet Robin?
Great question, Larry.
Thanks, buddy.
It really started with COVID and sitting on the sidelines with all my years in education and thinking about how could I really assist my colleagues, come along them and not be a burden to them or be a distraction. And so one thing led to another, and I really started thinking about the challenges that we face, especially in my history dealing with 9/11 and other things as a superintendent, dealing with all the stress and anxiety and just mental unhealthiness that surrounded all of that stress and trauma. And so one thing led to another, and I was introduced to Robin and her husband Tim through a friend who was also working on some projects to try to help schools and school districts and more importantly the individuals. And so once I met Robin and took a deeper dive into what she had created, I thought, oh my gosh, this is an amazing tool, an amazing asset that any school or school district, albeit public, private, parochial, didn't really matter, but anybody working with children, especially during this unprecedented time, how can we make these resources available and help connect community? And so that was what I saw. Yeah. I looked, and as I've gotten to know both Robin and Tim over the last several months, I'm just more and more excited about what they've created and what they're providing to communities. And, you know, Larry, I just interject one thing that's really, really important.
Please.
And that is it's not about the COVID, and it's not about this opportunity in unprecedented times. What Robin and Tim have created is something that is lifelong. I mean, as you've kind of looked at the landscape of education, it hasn't been really comfortable for educators to talk about mental health and mental well-being.
Oh, no.
We moved
You're right.
The social-emotional learning and thought, and rightfully so. But mental well-being and mental health is something that we just shy away from. There's just so many social taboos and nuance behind it. We think only mental health when somebody's in crisis or in risk. And that really just drew me to be very passionate about what Robin's work really stands for and what it means for families, what it means for community and individuals. So that's how we met and why I'm very excited to be with you today and also just have Robin tell her story and just a little bit about the work that she's created and really ultimately what the impact is, what they've already seen and what they are seeing. And it's not just limited to education. They've done some incredible work with veterans, bringing community together, not just with the schools.
Yeah, I love that. And by the way, we're going to talk about this now in detail, but sharpenminds.com. And it has to do, just so everybody understands this, what Greg just so well put, it's mental well-being involving both schools and communities. I don't mean to jump the gun, but am I pretty close there, Robin?
You are, absolutely. And you know, I think the conversation has been maybe sort of buried for so many decades. And unfortunately, with COVID, we've seen, of course, an increase, and now maybe the conversation around mental health or mental well-being is a little bit more in the forefront. So maybe we are seeing a greater awareness of that, right? But for those of us that have kind of been tracking the research, we know that for 20 years, more than 20 years, we've seen mental health being declared as a public health challenge. That was done by the Surgeon General back in 1999. So their scientists have an eye toward both how do we get ahead of the mental health challenges that we know exist, but how do we do so using strong science and kind of an evidence-based methodology. And that's what's so important, I think, for educators and for administrators to understand is that there are systems in place that support them, meet them where they are, and, of course, serve the students.
And you know what's interesting?
Go ahead, Greg.
Sorry, Larry. Yeah, what's interesting and what really struck me when I was, and still am, very, very involved with what Robin is doing, is school and guidance counselors and social workers. Because when you look at the numbers, there is no way humanly possible for an individual that's working and assigned to 450 students up to, like in Arizona, 900 to 1, that a social worker or a guidance counselor can attend to to be proactive and preventative rather than reactive. And that's really what I saw and still see. And that's part of what Robin is so passionate about is that if we can equip and enhance and engage with community resources as well as equip the educators with those tools, we can decrease and minimize, not eliminate, but we can minimize some of the trauma and some of the challenges that individuals are facing on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, I don't have to tell you or your listeners, you know, unemployment, all of the issues, the health issues, all of those things, whether my school is going to open today or not, or be closed, or am I going to go to work, not go to work, all of those things that create triggers that we don't know. We really don't talk about, let alone the other point is that what I think Sharpen and what Robin has done is really a focal point, I think, with school administrators. You know, how are the principals taking care of their staff? How are superintendents taking care of department heads? And here's a tool that is it's intuitive, but it can be self-discovery or it can be guided inquiry. It's just really, really powerful and thoughtful the way it's designed, again, to equip individuals with tools and skill sets to help them manage not just COVID, but to manage the challenges that life throws our way.
Every day, by the way, there were plenty of challenges before COVID. Okay, there'll be plenty after COVID is done. So we're not going to run out of challenges. I can almost guarantee you that can affect people's mental well-being, okay, without question. Yeah. But my curiosity, Robin, this is wonderful, all right? But this is what fascinates me. We're talking not about, quote, therapy. I'm putting my air quotes with my hands.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is a technology platform. Am I correct? This is technology we're talking
correct.
About.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
And this is just tell everybody what this is, okay? And I know know what the goal is, okay? But what is it? And also, we're talking to pre-K-12 educators, from superintendents through every title you can think of, okay? In grades kindergarten, pre-K through 12, who needs to listen to this? I think it's administrators, guidance counselors, that sort of thing. So talk about what it is. Okay, and who it's for? I know it's for the kids and the teachers, but who needs to be aware of this? Go, you're on. I'll shut up now. You go. Go.
Thank
go,
you.
Robin.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sharpen is a technology platform. We built it to extend, not replace, those existing live amazing resources that are available and that support both the school system and or the community. So we always say the very best intervention for a child or for an educator would be that licensed, you know, clinical provider that's within their community. However, we know that we need to support the individual in between those visits and kind of enhance the power of that guidance counselor within a school framework. So I built Sharpen really looking at what we call the protective factors, and I can get into detail of what those are. But there are many of the things that we're talking about, for example, building healthy coping skills for a young person, helping an individual understand their social, emotional, and psychological well-being. All of those resources are available through this digital framework. And we serve it up using audience-specific content. So what we know is that tiered framework of professional development that we all look to as best practice we know that what an administrator and a counselor or a coach in a school system needs access to is obviously very different than the information we want to send to a parent. And so for those reasons, we built a technology that can serve up that content in that framework. So that's what Sharpen is. It's kind of in a nutshell.
That's pretty cool. And I'm trying to think of the way where I want to phrase this. When a school district or a guidance counselor or whoever gets in touch with you, and I'm trying to narrow this down for everybody. Bear with me. What are they actually buying? They're buying the technology platform that does what exactly? I'm going to pinpoint it down for everybody.
Great. And I might actually, I'm going to say what I think, but then I would invite Greg to also share because he's got that great knowledge and wisdom around this as well. So from my perspective, what they're buying is a turnkey mental health solution that has over 400 educational modules within our framework that have been designed, created, and measured by national experts and thought leaders. So what they're getting is a turnkey digital solution that can increase the mental health resilience and well-being, not only of the educators within the school district, but also of the students themselves. And I'll just give you a brass tacks example. I'm an English teacher in a seventh grade class. I can bring up a evidence-based mindfulness activity for all of my students, meet those students where they are with a little healthy stress management activity that takes 5 minutes or less, all of which have been vetted. Yeah. So it makes it very accessible for, you don't have to have a mental health degree to deploy the content that's in this framework. That's already been taken care of. So that's how I would describe it, but I'd love to hear Greg's perspective.
And we shall now, Greg.
I appreciate that. I'll kind of build upon this turnkey, this idea that educators are, especially now with hybrid and other, you know, online or learning it from home, all and in person, all these different challenges. An educator can very, very easily find not only a topic, but it can be guided. I mean, Robin has already developed a kind of a calendar, kind of an instructional roadmap for an educator to just look on and said, listen, you know, this is important. We want to build coping capacity and competence and confidence in our students. So we can go right to a series of modules or lessons that do that, and the educator can have the confidence that these were created by professionals in the industry. So they can access that, and there's your roadmap. So they can build, and she's got some great case studies of where they build mindfulness and how that impact on both academic as well as attendance and just citizenship, how those have been improved and impacted by focusing on mindfulness. But let's just take stress management, which, by the way, is one of those, as Robin has reminded me, I think she has, you know, data that includes like 80,000 educators and professionals and said the number one area that they need assistance with is stress management and coping. Well, if I'm a building principal or a superintendent that is really concerned, and rightfully so, they are, but I'm not sure how to do this, I can access Sharpen, and I can have this incredible depth of award-winning production and video and content readily available that I can use, and I can build, again, my staff's capacity, confidence and competence, and that's all leading towards a resilience to be able to manage to work on this. And the last thing I would say on this, and what I really love about what this represents, is that it's not just within education in terms of the professionals. This can be extended into learner guardians. It can be extended to parents. It can be a tool that can be provided, because one of the aspects that Robin didn't mention is that one of the key features of this platform is I can put my zip code in, and it will cull all of my local resources that are available on a number of different topics. So I can be connected immediately if I'm in crisis or at risk. I can actually contact and be in contact immediately with these resources. The beautiful thing from the school side is that I actually have the ability as a superintendent, I can choose and kind of do a vetting of which resources I want to use. So if I'm a partner, which many districts are with United Way, and there's just a beautiful story around Spartanburg and what Robin has been able to do with a number of the Spartanburg districts. But I can United Way may be a partner of mine that allows a number of their resources to be pulled into the Sharpen app, which then those resources are made available immediately to individuals that are participating.
Wow, that thank you, Greg. That was really good. What did you do in Spartanburg? Talk about how you worked with the schools there, Rob.
Yeah, so what brought me to Spartanburg was actually a research project on a disordered eating prevention model that we used in K-12 schools. Spartanburg District 7 schools was the thought leader, and this was back in 2012. I started collaborating with Dr. Booker and his team down there. And what was super exciting is they were an all-in approach to basically primary prevention. And that included equity efforts. So we were one of the beginning of the resilient schools, the compassionate schools frameworks, infusing mindfulness and trauma-informed frameworks for all educators, for everyone serving children. And they also were really interested in, early identification. If a kid is already struggling with depression or anxiety or some other mental health disorder, we know that if we can get to them earlier, we are going to show more success and they can enjoy a full recovery. So that particular area of our country was really looking at concrete data, first and foremost, and secondly, these programs that are actually going to move the needle and make a difference. And we benefited from that. We got to go there, do some research. We published on a peer-reviewed medical journal the outcomes, and what we found were that not only are we serving the youth when we're talking about mental health and we're talking about things using these best practice methodologies, but we're also supporting the educators. We had on average up to 10% of the educators that attended these training programs, basically, found that they themselves or someone in their family may have been currently struggling, so we were able to get them the resources to help them live a better life that is, full, productive, and mentally fit. And that was the thing that I thought was so exciting, that most districts back then in 2012 were just turning the other cheek, to what was going on in terms of this public health crisis. So Spartanburg really led the charge, and that's what enabled us to do the great research we've been able to do. We worked in collaboration with so many community partners led by the United Way. They just have a robust behavioral health task force and the systems in place. So we were able to just come in and be successful, which was tremendous.
Yeah, that is tremendous. That's a great story. And that's Spartanburg Schools. And I have to say, what you're talking about now, and it just bounces back. I think Greg mentioned this before, the ratio of guidance counselors to the number of children they have to deal with is beyond comprehension. Was it 1 to 900 nationally or something, Greg? Did you say that?
Well, the average is 450 to 1. We have the highest ratios are in, unfortunately, in some states that are 900 to 1. Keep going, Larry. That's the challenge.
That's okay.
It's just amazing.
Well, and I was going to add on to that the number is probably even worse in terms of ratio for school psychologists. Okay, that's a real shortage there, all right? And yet we've got more and more people, okay, who have challenges with their mental well-being, okay? It's a terrible situation, okay? It's a real bad cycle we're in. And this is, to say the least, it's a vicious cycle. And this is very important. Again, everybody, it's sharpenminds.com. It's really something. And you said, Robin, the magic word, okay, to Larry, who is the president of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. You said the word equity. Okay, thank you for saying that. But Josh, can you and I think what Greg was alluding to a minute ago, in the best school districts, the best, the ones that are so well funded, there's still a shortage to a certain degree. okay? But if you get down to where their schools are really under-resourced, where dollars are really tight, everybody always brings up Camden, New Jersey, as a good example, okay? They're doing better than ever. But you know what I'm saying, okay? Underrepresented groups, all right, and under-resourced schools. And talk about the equity factor in terms of what you're doing with Sharpened Minds.
Yeah.
If you don't mind. And thank you for bringing
that
up, by the way.
Absolutely. So I, from my perspective, the equity factor is kind of got two layers to it. The very first is acknowledging that many of the families and children we are serving come from those childhood, you know, they're on the ACE spectrum. So the adverse childhood experiences, research and data, we now know that we need to have sort of that trauma-informed awareness and more of a compassionate lens when we're meeting those children. That comes out of the research out of Walla Walla, Washington, and it just so happened that Spartanburg County was leading the charge in terms of building those trauma-informed models, which we've now expanded throughout different counties in South Carolina and elsewhere. So I think that, from my perspective, when it comes to mental health, if we aren't having a conversation around those that traumatic stress, the impact of traumatic stress, and also the antidote, which are things like mindfulness-based stress reduction, then we aren't having yet a conversation around equity from a mental health perspective. So that's number one. And I think number two, the system that we built looked at peer-focused resiliency. And by that, what I mean is, if my content that I'm sending out, the training content that I'm doing on whatever topic, isn't necessarily peer-to-peer, we don't see as much engagement. And so what we started doing is working with many families from many diverse socioeconomic and cultural backgrounds to talk about tough topics so that when we actually are teaching or sharing this knowledge with a student, we're sending them information that is more peer-to-peer. So they see people who look like them, who talk like them, who they can resonate with, right? And it's sort of, it's not rocket science, but why we haven't been doing that up until this point. So from my perspective, those are the two keys to equity in terms of decreasing the stigma around mental health, having a cultural awareness around those barriers, and then serving up the content that's actually going to make those engagement numbers increase. And that's what we did with Sharpen.
Yeah, and Larry, I would just add.
Yeah, go ahead, Greg. Go ahead.
You know, just very quickly, what I would add to Robin's just beautiful explanation, it's the access. We can't even get to the equity without the access. And Sharpen provides that access. So whether those cultural stigmas, those just, we know, powerful mental models that get in the way, this is a very, very accessible tool that opens up the concept and the construct and the practical application of resources being available to people where they are and when they need them.
So
to me, that's the key to the equity component of Sharpen is the access that's ubiquitous and it's unobtrusive with respect to any of the traditional kind of guardrails and barriers that get thrown in the way of folks needing assistance.
You guys are making my life too easy because that's what we call our online journal, Equity and Access. And you're absolutely right.
Oh, fabulous.
Okay. I mean, it's Greg, you just nailed it for me, okay, and for the audience. And what can I say? But you're absolutely right. And these are the challenges. And, Bob, I just want to ask you, and I know COVID is, what, 7-8 months now, okay? You've been an expert in this for quite a while, okay? What are you seeing and hearing in terms of mental and behavioral health, all right, and changing behaviors, et cetera, amidst COVID? And I know it's a little too soon for a lot of data and research, but we have a lot of anecdotal stuff out there. For example, we know that a lot of school districts are having trouble with attendance, okay, that kids just aren't showing up. We know that. Okay, that's a challenge right there. So just what are you hearing, Robin?
You know, Larry, I know that according to the CDC, we've seen an increase in over 75%, especially among families, around risk factors like stress and anxiety and just the financial turmoil, right? So we obviously see that all of us are sort of on alert. We're all sort of trying to manage this. From my perspective, I also directed the Suicide Prevention Task Force that's in our county. So we're really looking at, we're looking at things like isolation. And we're worried that by keeping kids isolated, by all of us having to be isolated. So what we want to make sure we're looking at is, even though we're using social distancing and following those models, we want to stay connected. And it's so critical and important that both the individual and on the family level, we're increasing those connections and connectedness in the ways that we can, given COVID. So those are some concerns that both the from Centers for Disease Control and also the World Health Organization, we're trying to follow those guidelines. And certainly we know everybody's under an incredible amount of stress. So getting the conversation started is one of the first ways to reduce those stressors. And we've built out some things called COVID conversations where an educator can actually deploy. Yeah, they're just little conversations that actually talk about and give you a strategy for dealing with these level this level of stress that students and their families are facing. So one of the first keys is we got to start talking about it.
We got to start talking about it, which we're trying to do here. By the way, you just said about suicide prevention. Greg, just so you know this, and Rob, this will be of use to you too. My good friend Ann Brown, is the president of the Cook Center of, I think it's called the Cook Center of Human Relations or something. But she's in Park City, Utah, and that is a nationwide foundation for suicide prevention.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Yeah, and if you would like me to introduce you, I don't know if that would matter, but Robin or Greg, I'd be more than happy, to introduce you.
Yeah, we'd love to, Larry.
Who was just a great person. She used to work at Waterford Institute in Salt Lake, and she's one of my favorite people. So I'll make sure I get that introduction because that's really cool. She's going to come on the show in a few weeks to talk about what they're doing at the Cook Center. But it's and I'll tell you, when I talk to Ann, although she's a wonderful person, you hear these statistics for kids' suicide, and I just can't believe it. They're talking about kids who are 7 years old.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Well, Larry, to your point, and this is, I think, the other thing about just, again, our present circumstances, is that any one of us at any time can be demonstrating or exhibiting some of these risk factors. And I think that's the key, is that this is not just for those people. It's all of us. Each of us at different times may kind of dip below, if you will, that mental well-being and that mental health level. And it's okay. And that's why I think to Robin's point, we need to talk about it. We our mission is to create awareness, create understanding, and then a call to action to be proactive so we don't wait until we're under this mountain or avalanche of circumstances to respond.
And, it's a good point because we've learned a lesson. I hope we've learned a lesson, but none of us were prepared for COVID and all these things about SEL, about technology and schools, et cetera. It's all what we didn't have, what we were lacking is all coming to the forefront. It's bubbling up, like a volcano. All right, and the more we talk about it, we're going to be more prepared because there is going to be a next time, whatever that next time shapes out to be. This is amazing. We got to go. I'm going to be in touch with you. Greg, you're going to send me Robin's information. Can you do that? I only have her. All I have is the sharpenedminds.com website. Okay, can you send that to me, buddy?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, I got yours. So you I can get in touch with, no problem. I want to talk further about Robin. Okay, and we'll all talk about this. And I'll send you Ann's number. It's the Cook Center. Okay, and you guys can get together. Greg could actually walk over, but you have to call her. Okay.
I'll snowshoe over there. And you
talk so small. You can walk there like that. Life elevated. That's what I love Utah. It's right on the plate. It's true, and I love that slogan, life elevated. Do you like your license plate? Greg.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have that. That's on our plates. Yep,
life elevated. That's the perfect slogan, I got to tell you. Robin, this is great stuff. I'll remind everybody, okay, at sharpenminds.com. Okay, this is really good, but I want to talk to you further, okay, about what we're doing with our consortium and getting you guys even more involved. Would that be okay?
Beautiful. Love it.
Okay.
Love it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry. I really appreciate
My
it.
Pleasure.
Thank you too, Greg.
Thanks, Larry.
You're welcome, Greg. Anytime. Both of you, anytime. All right, I'll be in touch soon. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay,
bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, my good buddy, Greg Fearn, former superintendent down in Texas, worked his way up, obviously, with 30 years of experience in education, has been involved on the private sector leadership side since then. He's really an amazing guy. I've worked with him on several good friends that have become good friends of mine. I hope that happens with Robin. Robin is Robin Hussa Farrell, who is the creator, the president, whatever, of sharpenminds.com. And now more than ever, let's just say it that way. Okay, check it out. It's worth checking out. Okay, believe me, we're going to do more with them. I love this. Great stuff. It's all about equity. Can't have equity without access. Okay, thank you, Greg, for saying that and putting that so well. On that note, go to ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Look at our magazine, which is coincidentally our online journal called Equity and Access. You'll see why. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening.